as a part of the wedding service today and also as a part of our church worship service. Each Sunday morning, I share a message from the Word of God, from the Word of God that connects us as the people of God to Him through our relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I've entitled this message, Jesus and His Bride. We'll begin with the scriptural reality that Jesus is spoken of as the bridegroom. So it's very clear, this relationship that we have with Him. These are actually the words of John the Baptist from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 28 through 30. It says, "You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of Him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." So we see again the connection of Jesus as being the bridegroom. We are the bride. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 5, it says, "As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you." Jesus is the bridegroom. Everyone say that. Jesus is the bridegroom. And now say this, the church is the bride. So we're going to make that connection in the message this morning, and you will see the connection of the church and our bridegroom Jesus and the comparison with the bridegroom and the bride as we are celebrating this wedding covenant ceremony here today. One of the things that we need to understand, first of all, is that Jesus loves His bride. This is very, very evident through Scripture. And I would like to read, first of all, from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 through 32. And if you have Bibles with you today, I'll encourage you to flip open to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to be sharing, not everything will be on the screen. Some of it will, but we'll be veering off of Ephesians. Most of the other scriptures this morning are on the screen, but the passage from Ephesians I will be reading directly from the Bible, and so I'd encourage you to turn there if you have your Bibles this morning. Ephesians 5, 31 and 32 says this, "As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one." See the connection between Jesus and His church, between a husband and his wife, or the husband and his bride. Now, at the beginning of this passage of Scripture, notice it says, "As the scriptures say." This is actually a quotation from the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve were created, and Eve was formed from the rib of man. It says here in Genesis 2, 21 through 24, "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and He brought her to the man. At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now, notice how Adam says, "at last," or "finally." In other words, here's someone that will compliment me. I mean, all the other animals had been there, and he'd been involved in naming the animals and everything, but God could still see that he was lonely, and God said, "it's not good for man to be alone." And so that's when He put him to sleep, took his rib, fashioned in from his rib a woman, and He brought her to the man, and God looked at them and said, "this is really good." God was the one who instituted that relationship, and Adam could say, "this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Now, it's very interesting to make a comparison between Adam as the husband or the bridegroom of Eve and Jesus. Adam's side was pierced for that rib to come forth for the creation of Eve. And it's very interesting for us to see the comparison of Jesus. His side was pierced, not for a rib to come forth, but in His crucifixion. You remember from the soldier piercing His side to make sure that Jesus was dead upon the cross. And as His side was pierced, even the scriptures speak about Him being pierced for our transgressions. And in that sense, Jesus was pierced in His side that His bride could come forth, or that the church could be made right with God as well. So kind of an interesting comparison there. So we see that marriage is an example of Jesus and his church. And Jesus and his church are an example for the husband and wife. Now, the way that Jesus loves his church is the way that the husband is to love his wife. We'll see that scripturally here in Ephesians 5. But also the way the church is to respond to Jesus is the way the wife is to respond to her husband. Jesus does a better job at this than the church does. He will always respond to us with unconditional love. He will always respond to us in the appropriate way. We as the church don't always respond to him appropriately. But again, we are to, we ought to, and the scriptures explain how that can happen. And so it is that the wife responds to the husband as the church is to respond to Jesus. We have this comparison. So here's where I will have you turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 25 through 29 to begin with. And we'll see how it is that Jesus loves his bride. Ephesians 5, 25 through 29. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. One of the verses that I did not share in there is up in verse 21. We will be talking about leadership and submission, headship and submission. But one of the things we first need to understand is in this passage of Scripture from verse 21, it says that we are to submit one to another. Submit to one another. So oftentimes men want to make a big deal about wives, submit to your husbands. And there is a significant aspect there. However, it begins by saying submit to one another. And I want to show you how Jesus was the example of that, a husband submitting to his bride. We see that in his coming to earth and his death on the cross. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says this, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross." If there was anyone giving an example of submitting himself to another, it would be Jesus. And we even hear it in his words in the Garden of Gethsemane in his prayer, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." He was submitting to the will of God. And so it is, again, in a husband-wife relationship, there's the submission to one another. Again, Jesus shows his love for the church by, as it says in this passage, he gave up his life for her, making her clean with the washing of the word, that he might present back to himself a church, a glorious church. I like how the New International Version says, a radiant church without blemish. And I often think that, you know, and I encourage husbands in this manner. Jesus washed his church with the word of God so that she would come back to him radiant. And I tell guys, I said, guys, with your wives, you wash them with your words, your positive words of encouragement. You telling them how you appreciate them. You telling them how great they look to you. That kind of thing is going to cause them to want to present themselves back to you as radiant. So guys, if you're not liking how your wife's coming back to you, bring the finger back here and say, there's something I can do about that. I can wash her with my words, or I can encourage her. I can esteem her with my words. So she comes back to me, woo! Yes, radiant bride. That's what I want. So, guys, it's up to you. All right, so, but then we also have this passage of Scripture that speaks about the church submitting to Christ. We'll look at verses 22 through 24 of that same Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything." So again, I go back to verse 21 that says, you know, to submit to one another. And then it speaks about the wife submitting to the husband. It says, submit to your husbands in everything. And here's where we bring in balancing scripture. It does not mean that, you know, if he tells you to do something that's illegal or immoral, you don't submit to that. As it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Okay, so the godly things that he would encourage you in, there is that appropriate submission to, as there is the submitting one to another and the wife submitting to her husband. Now I want to ask this question. Who has the greater responsibility? In other words, you know, who's responsible to respond first? If we're supposed to submit to one another, you know, sometimes guys would say, you know, if she'd only submit to me, it'd be a whole lot easier for me to give myself for her like Jesus would love his bride. If she'd just start that, you know, that I think I'd be better off. But let me bring you back to what Jesus did. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, "In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So in other words, Jesus, for his bride, he didn't say, you know what, I'm going to wait for the church to get all cleaned up, for her to act like she's supposed to, for her to respond to me like she's supposed to, and then I might die for her if I feel like it. It was, no, he says, even while we were yet sinners, even while we were with spot and blemish, he gave his life for us. So he made that initial action. He took the greater responsibility. And so I'm going to kind of put it back on the guys. As a spiritual leader of your household, between the husband and wife, guys take the responsibility to lead. Let me share this story with you that, again, I made reference earlier in our service about the men's fraternity that we have going on here. And it's a curriculum for guys, not just husbands, but guys. But we learned some things in there, some really good things. And this was a story that we heard about a man who went to the doctor who was just, he was having some very serious health problems. And the doctor had consulted with him alone as his wife sat out in the waiting room. And after the consultation, after the appointment, the doctor asked to speak with the wife privately. And so the husband then waited out in the waiting room. The wife came in and the doctor begins to speak to her. And he says, you know, really what he's dealing with is very, very serious, but it is all stress related. But it's serious enough that he's not going to live much longer. Unless, he says, in the morning, just make sure that you help him. Make a good breakfast for him. And don't speak any complaining words whatsoever. Only kind words. Speak only kind words to him. When he comes home at night, make sure that there's a nice, quiet environment for him, that the kids are well-behaved, that the house is clean, and that he has his peace to be quiet and to relax, to have that ordered home environment. And we don't want him to have any pent-up stress, so give physical intimacy to him whenever he wants it, that kind of thing. Well, on the way home, the husband asks the wife, he says, "So what did the doctor say to you?" She said, "You're not going to live very long." Now, I'm not encouraging wives to respond to their husbands that way. The point that I'm trying to make here is that guys, don't wait for your wives to be the one to respond. In other words, take the initiative. Husbands, don't expect your wives to take the initiative before you love her as Christ loved the church. Okay, that's the point. So then we have the response of the bride then. As we, you know, see how Jesus loved us even while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Then there is an appropriate response of the bride of Jesus or the church. And this is what I started the service with this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." So the bride responds to the bridegroom. And he, again here, is speaking of the church. Not just the wife and the husband, but the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him. because he first loved us. And we want to live for him because he died and he rose again for us. Well, there is the consummation for us to look forward to. And I can encourage you this morning that you may have the certainty of being a part of this bride, the body of Christ or the church, by making Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord, asking him to forgive you of that which separates you from God, and that is simply your sin. See, that was already taken care of through Jesus' death on the cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he did that to reconcile us back to God, to make us to be right with God. And so the scripture says that God is not counting your sins against you because they were made right, or the price for your sin was paid for by Jesus having gone to the cross. And so each one of you, this day, if you've never done it before, can make Jesus your Lord and your Savior and be certain of the reality of the consummation of Jesus and his bride, the church, that we read about in the coming future in the book of Revelation that speaks of the end time as we know it. Revelation 19, 7 through 9 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words that come from God.'" So I want to encourage, first of all, Steve and Jennifer this morning to embrace these words that really were a charge to you as I was speaking. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, respond to your husbands, to submit to them as they follow the Lord. And this is a charge to you, but I want to also extend the charge to the congregation that as you heard these words, first of all, husbands and wives in your relationship, there is no better way to increase the expression of love between one another than to be obedient to the Word of God. And also, I want to encourage you to be a support as you have come today, not just to join in this worship service, but to join in and participate in the service of this covenant ceremony of marriage. I want to encourage you to be a loving support to Steve and Jennifer, to support them, to encourage them, to pray for them in this marriage covenant, and then according to the Word of God, to never do anything that would cause them to separate. For the Word of God says, "What God has joined together, let no man separate." Let's pray. Lord, we are very glad for your Word. We are very glad for the instruction that we receive from your Word. And we pray that we might make its application in our own personal lives. And we pray especially for Steve and for Jennifer as they make their application to this and the joining of themselves, two to become one. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to invite you guys to come forward. Eddie and Prima.